verses 14 through 20. As we look at this section from God's Word, what is it that God would like us to learn? This section of the Bible speaks of renewing your strength to love. Your love for God and others can be renewed as you draw strength from the incredible love of God. The Apostle Paul speaks to us from the inspired Word of God, saying, "Your strength to love is renewed through faith in the triune God, this God whose love for you is rich, deep, and extremely powerful." This is Paul's message to us believers, so that we might renew our strength to love. Now hear the Word of God as we read from Ephesians 3:14 and following. The Apostle Paul says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Woke up this morning with a severe headache. It's hard to be nice when you have a headache. Earlier this week, I felt rather exhausted, just worn out. You know, sometimes I'm hard to be around when I'm worn out. Sometimes there's a lot of people around me, just kind of crowding me out and not giving me any space. When you have a lot of people crowding around you, it's pushing you in. It's hard to be nice. It's hard to be kind. We could mention a lot of things like long traffic lines that you're caught in. We could mention extra long work days that you're involved in. On an extra long work day or a long traffic line, it's hard to be kind. It's hard to be your best self, isn't it? When you have these things coming down upon you, it's no wonder that our society has coined the acronym TGIF. Thank God it's Friday, because often we're in our century, at least this last part of it, it seems like we're just one activity after another, just involved in so many things, and we've just got to have do all these things. And we're overloaded and going from here to there and plenty of quantity and very little, perhaps, quality. You see, you may be tired, but God wants you to find the strength to love. You may have a very crowded life right now, but God wants you to find space to love. You may have some people in and around your life that are not very kind to you and makes it difficult for you to be kind in return. But God wants you to find the strength to love those people who are making your life difficult at times. The entire Bible hangs on one word. And if we don't do that one thing, we've missed the entire point of God's will for our lives. One word that God wants us to fulfill. Jesus said, the greatest commandment, the greatest thing you could do is to love. To love God and to love people. But yet, very often we're exhausted. And we just don't seem to have the strength to do it. We know it, but we can't necessarily do it in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the struggle. And yet God wants us to look and find that strength to love, and to love this week and every day of our lives. Do you believe in love? And do you believe that you can have that love in a greater fullness for yourself? How do you get it? How do you renew your strength in love? Scripture has much to say about it, how you can lay hold of the energy to keep on serving. The answer lies in faith. Your faith is how you lay hold of renewed energy to love. Do you believe in the incredible strength of God's love? Do you believe it? Do you believe in the glorious riches of your Heavenly Father? Do you believe in the deep love of Jesus Christ? And do you believe in the empowering strength of God's Spirit? That's what this text is all about here this morning. What do you believe? You say we believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, do you believe in the Father's glorious riches, the Son's deep love, and the Spirit's personal power? Do you believe in the Father's riches? Look at it, verse 14. Paul says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you." Where are you going to find the strength to love and to serve as you should? Paul says, "I pray." Here's what I'm praying, one source. I'm praying to the Father that out of His glorious riches you may find the strength that you need. Paul was kneeling before the Father. He was thankful that he had a Heavenly Father. He appreciated the fact that God had come into his life and was caring for him. We see that in chapter 1, verse 5, where it says, "In love He adopted us as His sons through Jesus Christ." You know, Jesus taught in the Lord's Prayer. He said, pray this way, "Our Father, give us this day our daily bread." Do you have a good understanding of Christianity? Do you really know what it's all about? I think it was John Stott who was asked, how do you know if person has a good hold on what it means to be involved in New Testament Christianity? What is it all about? He said something like this. He said, a person who really understands New Testament Christianity understands God. And you want to find out if they have a good understanding, ask them about what they think about God. What do you think about God? What comes to your mind? What's foremost in your thinking? And if a foremost thought isn't that God is my Heavenly Father, then the person really doesn't know what it's all about. Our Father, who art in heaven. Paul says, for this reason I kneel before the Father. And how did he open it, the book of Ephesians in verse 2? Grace and peace to you from God, our Father. Do you see yourself in relationship to God? In relationship to someone who has a Heavenly Father? Or do you, when you think of God, do you see Him as your judge? Are you thinking that, yeah, He's watching over me. I better be careful here. Better watch here. Better not go too far here. He's going to get me. When you think of God, do you see Him as someone who's monitoring your every action? Is that how you live out your Christian life? Or maybe you see Him as someone who's far removed. That is the deist God who's just simply saved you and left you. Maybe you see God as someone who just has these rules and regulations for you. Just do my obligations. That's it. Got to do these obligations. Got to do this. Got to do that. Got to do this. He wants that. He wants, as if He's just there as a rule maker. Believers with a good, solid understanding of New Testament Christianity sees God as their Heavenly Father. Scripture says we're no longer orphans. We've been adopted. Chapter 1 of Ephesians. We're no longer prodigals. We've been forgiven. We're no longer aliens. We have come home through Jesus Christ. And so He says, grace and peace to you from God our Father. There is one family of believers, living and dead, and we all have our Heavenly Father caring for us, watching out over us. He says, for this reason I kneel before the Father. And He goes, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. The likely interpretation here is that there is one family of believers. Some of them are alive like us. Some of them have passed on. But we're all part of one family. We have a Heavenly Father caring for us, watching out over us in this family. And not only does Paul say that you have a Heavenly Father if you know Christ, but Paul is praying that you receive the Father's riches. You have a Father who is abundantly rich and has a lot to offer us. Notice what he says in verse 16. Look at it. Look at the Word of God. Under the Spirit's inspiration, Paul says, I pray that out of His glorious riches, the Father's glorious riches, out of His riches He may strengthen you. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power. Philippians 4:12 says these words about Paul. He says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Paul was in prison when he wrote those words. I've learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And then he says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Paul went on to say, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. So often we forget that God is our Father who has rich resources for us to tap into, particularly as we're in the face of the trial. We think, man, I'll never be able to be the kind of person I need to be in this situation. I'll never be able to get through this or to love or care for somebody who's been so unkind to me. And yet we have a rich Heavenly Father. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you, Paul says. You know, Donald Gray Barnhouse, some of you know him, the late Dr. Barnhouse, who was a former pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. Well, he tells the story of a young French girl he had the privilege of leading to Christ. And this young girl followed Barnhouse's practices. One of his practices was to have a little promise box. He and his family wrote about 200 promises from the Bible, took them out, wrote them on paper, slips of paper, and put them in this box. Well, this girl that came to know the Lord, this French girl, she started doing the same thing. And she grew up and she did that with her family. And what they would do is, as the time of need would come, they would reach into the promise box and take one out and read it. This is my promise for today. This is going to help me. And the woman, or the girl grew up to be a woman, had her family, and she told the story of what happened to the promise box one day. She had like 200 promises written down. One day, during the war, she was in great need, she and her family. The kids' shoes were worn out. Their clothes were ragged. And they were hungry. Kids were asking for food, and she just didn't have anything to give them. Well, eventually the Lord supplied their needs and took care of them, but not without incident. She recalled what happened in the process. She said that she was in tears over that she couldn't provide for her kids, and she was all shook up. And she was reaching for the promise box. And as she reached for it, of course, her eyes are all teary. She couldn't see it too well. And she knocked it over, bumped it, knocked it over. And out came all the promises. They come down, fell down on her shoulders. Promise fell down on her, onto her lap, around her feet, all around her were these promises. And then she started to laugh. Because she had reached into that prayer box saying, "Lord, do you have a promise for me today? Is there something I can hold on to? Tell me one little thing that will give me hope." And as all the promises fell down upon her, she laughed because she realized that God didn't have just one promise for her. God had all His promises for her. He wanted to shower upon her all of His blessings. And of course, her needs were met through that hour, more than she needed. But you know, the Scripture tells us that our cup overflows, as the psalmist writes. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I love Matthew Henry's commentary on that. That's so helpful to us to understand what that means. Henry says these words. He says, "I shall not want" means I shall be supplied with whatever I need. And if I don't have everything I desire, I may conclude that it is either not fit for me or not good for me. Or I shall have it in due time. Do you believe in a God who is your Father? And a Father with rich resources? Do you believe that? Do you expect your Heavenly Father to shower His blessings upon you in your situation as you live your life out in your home and in your work and in your schools, community? Not only should you ask yourself, do you believe in a Father with rich resources, but ask yourself this question. Do you believe in the deep love of Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the deep love of Jesus Christ? You see, not only are we connected to God the Father, but we are connected to His Son, Jesus Christ, who deeply loves us. That's what we Christians need to remember. Look at Paul in verse 17. Right, let's read 16 and 17 together. He says, "I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge." The focus of Paul's prayer here is that you as a believer, the Ephesians as a believer, the focus was that they might know the deep love of Jesus Christ. That was the heartbeat of his prayer. He wanted those Gentiles primarily who had been brought into the church to realize in a deeper way the fullness of Christ's love. John Calvin commented on this love of Christ. He says about drawing on Christ's love through faith and thinking about it. He says, "This admonition to know the deep love of Christ," Calvin says, "is very useful. This is what is necessary for us to know and what the Lord desires us to contemplate. The love of Christ is being held out to us to meditate on day and night and to be completely immersed in. He who holds to this alone has enough." That's a nice statement. He who holds to this alone has enough. Beyond it, beyond the love of Christ, there is nothing solid, nothing useful, nothing, in short, that is right or sound. Let me ask you, what are you meditating on these days? What are you filling your mind with? Perhaps your energy level is low. Perhaps you aren't a nice, kind person consistently enough because you're not filling your mind with the right thing. And what is the right thing? The thing you need is to meditate on the love of Christ and the depth of that love because that's where you're going to find your strength. Calvin says that the love of Christ is held out to us to meditate on day and night and to be completely immersed in. Believers in Christ, let me ask you, how deep is Christ's love for you? How deep is His love for you? Paul says, as it were, His love for you is infinitely enormous. Its depth, its height, its length, its width extends into infinity. You know, my kids don't remember this, but I remember it. They used to play a little game every now and then, joking around, trying to figure out who could count the highest. You know how the kids, you know, when they learn to add and all that stuff, they like to show off a little or get one up on the other while they're learning to count, you know. Even at the school level, they have to report back. Can you count to 1 to 10 by such and such an age, or up to 100 by such and such an age or grade? Well, they were doing a little thing in the house. One would say, well, I can count to 3,079,000,000,000. And everyone said, oh, I can count to 4,096,000,000,000. And the other one said, oh, I got you now. I can count to infinity. And another one would come along and say, well, I can count to infinity plus 1. Well, you cannot count to infinity, let alone infinity plus 1. Because if you look up what infinity means, something that is infinite has no limits. To be infinite, you have no boundaries. It continues forever, and it cannot be fully measured. Paul's aim is for you to know something that cannot be measured. Paul's aim was that you might know the unknowable. That's what he says. He says, verse 19, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Now, he doesn't mean that we cannot know Christ's love at all. What he means is that Christ's love cannot be fully known. And yet that was Paul's proper heart desire. Because it was so great, he just wanted them to flood themselves in it and to be able to grasp it in a fuller, richer way. He says, I want you to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. There's a personal knowledge of Christ's love that Paul wanted you to have, and it's greater than you're now experiencing. Paul's hope in his prayer was that it would be a fuller, greater measure that you experienced, that the Ephesians would experience. You know, if you make an analogy here, it was something like this. You know, it's wonderful to go to Ocean City, isn't it? Maybe not now, but to go down and on a nice summer day, and go in the ocean. Take a swim. Take a nice refreshing dip in the Atlantic Ocean. Well, Paul wants us, as it were, to not just swim in the Atlantic, but he would say, try the Pacific. I'd like for you to take a swim in the Pacific. And then try the Indian Ocean. See how you like that. And the Mediterranean and the Caribbean. And so on and so forth. You see, to enjoy the ocean is one thing, but it's not everything. There's a greater fullness that you have yet to experience. And that's what Paul wanted in the same way. Paul wants us to know and experience the fullness of Christ's love. And how are you going to do that? It's through faith and through believing the deep love of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what he says in verse 16? I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with his power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You can only enter into the fullness or the ocean of God's love through faith. Some of you sometimes shortcut experiencing a greater depth of God's love because you haven't trusted Him in the circumstances. You've shortcutted the process. You blew up and got angry when you should have been reaching out and saying, where's that deep love? I know it's a little bit deeper. I've got to get a little more of that so I can handle the situation better. Some of you have withdrawn. You run away from the situation. Instead, you should have been saying, Lord, you have a deep love that can't be measured. I need a little more. Let me take my little bucket and dip it into your ocean and have some of that for myself. But it's faith. And of course, the way faith comes is through feeding on His Word. The promises of God, thinking about them, the truths of God, meditating on them, is how you understand in a greater depth of Christ's love. Let me ask you a question, folks. Believers, when did Christ's love for you begin? You think He doesn't have a deep love for you that you can tap in? When did His love for you begin? Do you remember what Paul said when he had opened the letter to the Ephesians? Chapter 1, verse 4. He chose us before the foundation of the world. In love, He predestined us. God's love for you who believe began in eternity past, before the world was ever began. And when will God's love for you end? Psalm 118 says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say what? His love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say what? His love endures forever. And let those who fear the Lord, I'm glad He put that in here, let those who fear the Lord say, His love endures forever. Can you say that? That let those who fear the Lord say, love endures forever. Now, as a believer, you can add that in there. You can say, His love for me endures forever. Can you say that? His love for me endures forever. Psalm 136 says that 26 times our Lord's love endures forever. It lists all those wonderful things the Lord had done for them. You know, you're a sinner. You deserve God's judgment. I deserve it. But God doesn't treat us that way. He has compassion on us like we do on our children. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. And the real measure of Christ's love is where? What's the real proof? If you had to ask yourself, how do I really know God loves me? God cares for me? The proof of the Lord's love comes in His sacrificial life, doesn't it? In His self-giving. You think that the Lord doesn't have a deep love for you? He gave Him Himself. No one took His life from Him. He gave it freely. Listen to what 1 John 3 says. You know it. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. The proof and the measure of Christ's love for us is in His giving Himself. Listen to this quotation from the New Testament Dictionary of Theology. It says, the extent and depth of divine love is seen most clearly where? In Jesus. His birth, His life, and His ministry. The self-emptying of the Creator to take on the human nature at Bethlehem. The ministry and care of Jesus toward the despised, the outcast, and the neglected. His parables of the Father's love and care. His deliberate humbling of Himself to endure the tremendous disgrace, shame, and agony of His sin-bearing death and suffering on behalf of those who reject Him. All these declare the amazing love of God. The characteristic activity of this love is committed, self-giving, and its measure is self-sacrifice. End quote. In brief, how do you measure the love of Christ for you? You measure through His self-giving and His self-sacrifice. That's how you know if somebody loves you. Christ held back nothing from us. He gave Himself totally, freely, sacrificially, with every ounce of energy. When on earth Christ said, "Freely you've received, freely give." Let me ask you, what's your motivation for service? What motivates you to live the Christian life? What is it? Is it obligation? That's what a Christian should do. This is my obligation. Is it that you have to fulfill some duty? Is it the fact that you're required to do something by God? Is that what makes you make your choices on how you live your life and work your work and raise your kids or relate to people? Maybe it's the fact that I won't feel guilty. Well, if I do the right thing, I'm not going to feel guilty. And therefore, I don't want to feel guilty, therefore I'll do the right thing. Or maybe you'll feel good about yourself afterwards, and that motivates you. I want to feel good about myself, so therefore I'm going to do the right thing. Someone has said that the highest motivation is to be driven by the love of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul says, "The love of Christ urges me onwards." Some translate it, "The love of Christ constrains me." The love of Christ strengthens me or stretches me. It propels me. The more I meditate on it, the more that it thrusts me forward. The more I think about how He gave Himself every ounce of the way for me, that motivates me. It does something for me. Paul says, so many words, "The love of Christ constrains me." Hebrews 12:2 speaks of motivation. Listen to it. You want to be motivated? Think about the Lord's sacrificial love. "Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." You want to renew your strength to love? Meditate on the self-giving love of Jesus Christ. That'll motivate you. We love because He first loved us. And we've got to get that down deep into our thoughts if the love is going to come out of us. Do you believe in the deep love of Christ? Not only that, we are triune people. We believe in the triune God. Father with great riches, Christ with His great love, but also the Holy Spirit with His great personal power. Do you believe in the personal power of the Holy Spirit? Paul says, look at his prayer again. He says, "I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power." Then the next three words, "through His Spirit in your inner being." It says the same thing, similar thing down in verse 20. Look, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work" where? Look at it. His power that is at work within us. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Do you believe in the personal power of the Holy Spirit in your life? You know, I think we in Reformed tradition, sometimes we overreact to extreme Pentecostalism. We want to talk about the finished work of Christ. You know, we want to talk about the Bible. Make sure that nobody gets off into the subjective thing. And perhaps almost to the point that we forget that there is a person inside living in us. A powerful person that we call the Holy Spirit. In fact, we try to defend the Bible, how it speaks of its personality. The personality of the Holy Spirit. The question is, do you believe? Not just in the Holy Spirit talked about in the Bible, but the one that lives in every believer. Do you believe in His personal ministry to you? He has a ministry to you. And of course, it's to direct you back to Christ. But as He does that, you see, He's getting you back to the place where you're going to get your strength. Christ did not leave us as orphans. He said, "I'm going to send a paraclete, the comforter, the one to come alongside you." The exhorter, the encourager has been translated. The Spirit. And notice what Paul says in chapter 2, verse 18. He says, in Him you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. God lives in you, the third person of the Trinity, in the Holy Spirit. And He's there for a purpose. You know what it is? He wants to give you strength to love. That's what it's all about. To strengthen your love. You've got to believe in that person living inside you. He's going to enable you to do things that you couldn't do yourself. He's changing your life, as many of you are discovering. He's given you access to Christ and access to our Heavenly Father with His glorious riches. We all know what the fruit of the Spirit is. Love, joy, peace. It's interesting that the head of the list of the fruit of the Spirit is love. Because that's what it's all about. Is love. I'd like to draw to the close here by simply sharing this brief analogy with you, or illustration. You know, the Lord wants to give you renewed strength. But you've got to trust Him. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes our life is muddied up with everything. We just can't seem to find renewed strength to live and serve as we should. You know, you ever drive a car down on the road on a muddy day? It's a little rainy and the rain stops, and then all you have is mud flying up on the window from the cars around you. It's difficult to see. Then you discover you have no windshield washer fluid, right? You're hitting the old button or pressing whatever. Nothing coming out. All you've got are these things flapping around there and just making a mess. You can't see what in the world you're doing. So you're rather frustrated. Difficult to see. Tempted to pull over to the side of the road. And all of a sudden, a little shower starts up again. Shh. Refreshing shower. Just washes away the mud. Makes it all clear. And you're able to keep driving down the road. Frustration's gone. It's a clear day again, as it were. You know, the same way, the Holy Spirit, as we have faith in Christ and look for Him, Christ to minister to us through the Spirit, as we have faith in the midst of that trial, the Holy Spirit is able to shower down the blessings from the Father. Blessings that wipe away the mud, to clear the road for us, that we can see and go forward. Do you believe in the personal ministry of the Holy Spirit? He lives in you and He wants to touch and renew your life in the love of Christ. Close with this question. Are you a person who believes in the triune God? Do you believe that you're connected to the triune God? This week, as you face your trials and difficulties, ask yourself, am I connected to God? Am I connected to the Father's glorious riches? Am I connected to the deep love of Jesus Christ? And am I connected to the personal power of the Holy Spirit? If you believe these things and look for Him to work in your life, your strength is going to be renewed. And you're going to be loving your wife and your family and your kids and your, or if you're single, just people in general. You're going to be loving better and you're going to be loving God more fully as you draw strength through faith in our God. Let us pray. Lord, please renew our strength as we look to You in faith this week. As You face us with challenges and all kind of opportunities, renew our strength in love as Christ has loved us. And as we rely upon Him, may we find ourselves being able to love even as He has loved and cared for us. In Christ's name, amen.